Hey, I know you've been busy. What 4 weeks in the legislative session, and quite frankly, a lot of lofty goals set by the Democrats.
There is a lot of stuff that we still have to do. I think it's going to be really difficult to get everything wrapped up by the deadline. They should be able to do it because they have complete control of everything, but it is going to be really hectic, and we're going to pay the price for some rather leisurely weeks that we had back in January and February.
You were part of a pushback on progressive taxes. You've come out and said, no, I don't like this. You know, and Paul, there's another thing, and I hear this, and I see other people writing about it, and I'm curious about your interpretation, this proposed chance. You've seen the verbiage and the change of the Constitution. We'll talk about the process in a couple of moments. But a lot of people say when they read this, which to me, got to talk to a lawyer to understand it. But it says, basically, they say, interpret it as, once this is in place, they can raise taxes anytime they bloody well want.
That's the way I read it, and that's one of the major hang-ups that people have with this proposal, is there are no protections for taxpayers. The way we have things set up right now, by saying that it has to be a flat rate, that everybody pays the same rate, that means that everybody's going to share the pain of a tax increase. If you change it to a progressive rate where you can fiddle around and make some people pay a higher rate than others, that's going to make it a lot easier for tax rates to go up. Now, my feeling on this is, when we're talking about tax rates, really, I almost feel like we're rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic, because our big problem is spending. We seem to have an insatiable appetite in Springfield to just keep raising taxes, increasing spending, and expanding the size of government. So for me, I voted no on the progressive tax proposal that the governor has. But the thing that concerns me more than anything else is that there seems to be just absolutely no effort to spend responsibly and to take a look at trying to hold the line or even cut spending. That's the thing that's my biggest concern.
And when it comes to progressive taxes, you've got the aspect, the messaging, only rich people will be affected.
Well, and that winds up being, what's your definition of rich? Right now, the proposal that Governor Pritzker has says that it's $250,000 or more. I don't know that the math adds up on that. In other states where they have a progressive tax, it winds up that the definition of rich is surprisingly low. You have some other states where you're talking about rates being higher for levels of income that we would consider middle class. So the whole ambiguity in saying, well, the rich are going to pay more, that does leave the door open, and that's a very serious problem with this proposal.
All right, so here's the thing, and this is where we need to go next. We're not talking about a constitutional convention here. We're talking about getting this done, the governor signing it, put it on the ballot on 2020, and that just changes one element of the Constitution, or am I incorrect?
That changes the provision of the Constitution that says that we have to have a flat tax. But what would happen is, if this proposal passes the House, which it already passed the Senate, it needed a 3/5 vote in the Senate. It needed 36 votes. It got all 40 Democrat votes. All the Republicans voted against it. But if it passes the House with 71 votes, then this will be an initiative that goes on the ballot in 2020, and the voters of the state of Illinois will have the final say on whether this constitutional change goes into effect.
Now, there was a subtext to this past weekend, if you had to listen close, that the governor announced that we've been working years, right, his term, and that, you know, there was an agreement with lawmakers. This was how it was going to work with marijuana. Did they ask you?
I was not a part of those discussions, and I think probably the reason why I was not is I've been on the record saying that I was going to be opposed to legalizing recreational marijuana. So they didn't reach out to me, which is not surprising. I'm not gonna throw stones at them for that. I'm an opponent. But what I found interesting, though, when they rolled out this proposal on Saturday, was there are some concerns that I would have about this even if I was in favor of legalizing recreational marijuana. And really kind of the first and foremost thing that I would be super concerned about is very little of the tax revenue actually goes into the general revenue fund or goes to pay down our debt. The way this proposal is structured, any tax revenue that comes in, 35% goes to the general revenue fund, 10% goes to pay down the debt, and the rest is spread around for various new state programs. And this just kind of reinforces the idea that the governor and his political team, I don't think, are serious about spending responsibly. So that's my first big concern with this, is that only 45% of the projected taxes that are coming in from this would be going into the general revenue fund or to pay down the debt.
Right, 35 general operating fund, 25% for old communities fund, 10% unpaid bills, and then the remainder for mental health, substance abuse, and education. When you look at this, we're doing legal gambling, sports gambling, we're doing recreational marijuana, we're having a progressive tax because we're behind on our bills. It's not really reflected psychologically when you say we're going to take 10% for unpaid bills. I think these numbers show the predisposition towards the people who want it.
And let's be honest, the state of Illinois does not have the best track record of being responsible stewards of the taxpayers' money. I'm thinking of other programs like the Pat Quinn's Neighborhood Recovery Initiative, which, you know, was supposed to target some of these same disadvantaged communities, and that wound up just being a boondoggle and a political slush fund. So, right now, I don't think we have the track record to justify any trust from the taxpayers of Illinois. That's very concerning to me that so little of this revenue would be going to pay down bills or go into the general revenue fund. The other big problem I have with this is it sets out a process of mandatory expungement of some past criminal offenses. And I have a problem with that because everybody knew that marijuana possession was against the law. That to me, when we say, okay, we're going to automatically expunge all these past offenses, that just disregards that there was a knowing violation of the law. So I have a problem with that. I mean, we certainly, when we raised the speed limit up to 70, we didn't go back and refund any speeding tickets that people had. It's because, you know, people knew what the law was and they chose to break it. So,
well,
I have a problem with the expungement. And then the last problem that I have is this whole permitting process sets up a process whereby we're not going to have everybody treated equally. The proposal would have applications scored based on political considerations, such as what type of labor agreement would exist in this application, environmental considerations, and the nebulous community engagement, whatever that is. So you have bureaucrats approving or scoring applications based on political considerations. That to me is very troubling as well. So overall, I'm going to be a no on this anyway, but there are some real problems with this proposal.
It's interesting. I was talking to Steve Brown, Mike Madigan's spokesperson, I think it was about a week or so ago, a little week plus, and we were talking about the proposal, the budget, and the money from recreational marijuana. I forgot whatever it was, $120 million. So don't quote me on this because I don't have the number right in front of me.
Well, nobody knows what the number is. Well, and anybody that is telling you that this is how much we're going to get in is just selling something and is completely undermining their credibility. We frankly don't know, and it'll be very interesting to see how this plays out in the governor's final budget that gets passed.
All right.
The way the process is going to work is, the Democrats will probably try to pass the cannabis legalization and then make a projection of revenue in that, and that'll go into what the final budget is. And you and I have talked before, it's highly irresponsible, and that's a generous term for making revenue projections on stuff that hasn't even come to pass yet.
Steve told me he thought that number in the budget was only what they were going to derive from licensing and not sales. And what's interesting is in this legislation is $20 million in low-interest loans for what they called social equity applicants. Now, this is something Paul referenced just a couple of moments ago. Who gets what? And, of course, communities that have been disproportionately affected by marijuana laws would have at least 51% of the marijuana stores. But you, once again, you count on income, and then you say, we'll loan you the money.
Well, it's a problem that we're already planning on making these low interest loans. And as I said, I have a real problem with this just from an equal treatment aspect. I think that, you know, if you were going to set this program up, which I'm not in favor of, but if you were going to do something like that, everybody should have the same opportunity. There shouldn't be political considerations. There shouldn't be this shouldn't be doled out as special political projects to certain groups. This should be something that everybody has the exact same opportunity to take advantage of a state program.
I should have mentioned this earlier, and I meant to, and I'm sorry. We were talking about these progressive graduated tax, fair tax. It's a graduated tax instead of euphemisms here. This call last Friday about estate taxes. I mean, this is another hot potato, but nobody's really talking so much about it, but they should be.
Well, I would be in favor of doing away with the estate tax in Illinois. Just I feel like, you know, if you are an individual that has paid taxes on all the you're paying taxes on this money on the estate all your life. And then, so now you've paid taxes on this all your life, and then now when you die, we're double taxed again. We're tapped on something after we're dead. I would be in favor of getting rid of the estate tax, but this proposal that we had in the Senate was part of a package deal. It was in my opinion, this was a sweetener to try to get some Republican votes on the progressive income tax proposal. This was linked to the progressive tax proposal, so it was part of a package deal, along with a proposal for some type of property tax relief. But they were all linked together; they were part of a package, and I voted no on all of them.
You know, it's interesting the old adage that the only difference between a governor, the government, and the prostitute was the prostitute will stop screwing you when you're dead.
And keep it clean, my friend. Okay?
I know. And, you know, it's interesting that there's nothing more honest than humor, is there? You know, there's two other issues that I want to hit with you real quick. One, this teacher test. There are two pieces of legislation that talk about doing away with the basic skills test, or at least temporarily doing away with it until 2025. And they say, look, these tests are biased. They don't consider people's life. And it's a basic test skill. But at the same time, they're saying only 25% of teachers pass this. And we do have a teacher shortage. But there's two bills right now, and I guess you'll be seeing one or more of these soon.
And I have not looked into the details on those bills yet. When I approach them, what my way of thinking will be, though, is I will be looking at it through the lens of that we do have a teacher shortage in Illinois, Southern Illinois especially. That's very real. There needs to be, we have to do something to try to address it. And the other way I'll be evaluating that proposal is I'm a firm believer in local control. You've asked me in the past, what my mindset is. My mindset is still that of an infantry officer in the Marine Corps, but one of the things that they teach you as an infantry officer is the person who has eyes on the target is the one that should be in control of the incoming fire. And when it comes to teaching, I believe that parents, local school boards, local superintendents, they should be the ones that are making the decisions for how their community teaches its students. Now, if there's something that's outside the box of reasonableness, the state can step in. But as the default position, the state of Illinois, the Illinois Senate, should not be acting as a 59-member school board. So when I evaluate those bills, I'm going to be thinking, okay, how does this impact local control, and does this help or hurt the teacher shortage that we face in Southern Illinois?
All right, and finally this morning, and I find this is interesting from a lot of different point of views, but primarily we have this Legionella problem and the VA, right? And we think, okay, we'll pink a piece of legislation, we'll pay a bunch of money, and it's over, and we never have to worry about it again. You're saying that's not the case with Legionella, already citing problems with devices and systems used to block this bacteria.
Well, we had a joint hearing on the Quincy Veterans Home last week in Springfield, and this was the first opportunity for the new director of the Illinois Department of Veterans Affairs, Director Chapalavia, to come in and talk. And one of the points that I made in the hearing was that we can't get complacent on this. The Legionella bacteria is something that is naturally occurring, and a lot of our veterans that are at these homes throughout the state are elderly and are at risk from this bacteria. So one of the things that has been a challenge is we've thought that we had this problem, especially at Quincy, solved a number of times, and we would take action, install some new filters, and then the filters would be causing a backup, and that would cause the Legionella to continue to grow. So the point that I really tried to emphasize with Director Chapalavia is we can't get complacent, and she has to be personally engaged in this. She has to know, are we still getting positive pops for the Legionella bacteria at any of the sites, and what are the protocols going to be? Because if she doesn't have the personal engagement where she knows exactly what's going on, some of her staff that are going to be working for her are not going to realize the importance that needs to be placed on this, because we can't take our eye off the ball. We have to remain focused and make sure that we're addressing what is a serious threat to our veterans in these facilities.
A lot to be done in Springfield before May 31st. Will it get all done? There's a lot of expectations. A lot of it has to do with money. Senator Paul Shimp, and you're back in session tomorrow. Senator, thanks for your time today.
Thanks so much for having me on, Tom. I always enjoy talking with you.